support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Tom Sanders, Public Works Director. Magic City, Moberly, Missouri. It grew up overnight out of the prairie, so it sprung up after, you know, with the railroad town and the boom, and that's how it got its name.
Interesting. How and why and when did the town rise up?
You know, really, the big surge of growth was probably the 20s and 30s was when it really shot up. You know, it went, I think we were been at 12,000, near 13,000 back in the 30s, I believe.
But going back in the 19th century, it was a pioneer town, wasn't it?
It was. Moberly was loosely populated. You know, there was an old Allen was kind of incorporated in. It was originally there before Moberly. And it was up on the north end of the community now. And first person moved in the downtown district in Moberly in around the 1860.
So the real first renaissance was post-Civil War, right?
Yes.
And that's, you had a railroad?
The railroads made Moberly come to life. Wabash, I mean, Sheraton and Northern, I believe, were the Colonel Moberly town was named after. He was the president of that group, but Wabash had its central offices here in Moberly, Missouri. Sadly, we lost that building as a result of the tornado in 95, but it was a very large structure for Moberly.
And even today, Moberly is a railroad town, served by railroad.
Yes, still a lot of presence in the community.
Talk to us about contemporary Moberly. You're going through another renaissance. Right now, before our eyes, is a lot of downtown urban renewal, rejuvenation projects.
Yeah, we've seen our downtown, we implemented a community improvement district, and so that has allowed for funding to work towards grant funding for different businesses in the town. They're looking to do renovations of their facilities, and so we're seeing a lot of change in how people want to live. That's what I see, and as I mentioned that earlier, you know, that the downtown apartments, you know, and a lot of times the old apartments in the downtown were there as components where maybe the people who operated the business downstairs lived above them, where now that's where people want to be. So you see the unique, we're seeing a lot of increases in downtown apartments for rent out to people who have no affiliation with associated businesses. And then we also, in the community, are seeing like the zoning densities. You know, instead of wanting the 3-acre tract of land or the 5-acre tract of land, we're seeing houses where they're wanting to increase and houses are 6 feet apart again.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying on one level, this is a shift within the existing community, within the existing region.
Yes.
But then on another level, what's happening with your recruitment and inducement to people to relocate here? Is that happening too?
Well, it's kind of a balancing act, trying to get the people here for the new commercial facilities, or do you get the commercial facilities here and then try to bring the people in? That's a real struggle right now. Our housing market, I think, can attest to that, and our realtors would probably be saying, you know, they're begging, give me more houses, give me more houses.
So the demand is there, the inherent demand.
Absolutely. I mean, we did a housing study, and they were projecting that we need to put in 40 new houses every year for the next 10 years. And when we see probably in a big year for us in the past might have been 25 houses in a year, so I was worried about how we're going to achieve that. But the way houses are selling on the market right now, even rental, I mean, so we're seeing apartments coming in, and happily, we've really been able to push the infill housing. That was one of the things we struggled with in the past is when the old houses went bad and we had to take them out, the town looked like teeth were missing. Very happy. It was kind of hard to sell to get some of these house builders. The idea was, let's go build a new greenfield, you know, subdivision, have that nice by itself and have it associated with nothing else. And after we got them to try it, put a few of them up, you know, they sell, this is working, we're selling these houses. And that's good for us because I've already got the street, the infrastructure, everything's already in place.
Sewers, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the best deal for the community. We're filling in those missing spots. And
there's probably some advantage to the builder too, right?
It is. You know, the light lot's already graded. They don't have that cost. And fortunately, I mean, the city's been very proactive as far as when we tear these structures down. You know, obviously we have some cost to that, but we were able to donate those lots. That's how we're getting that moved along. So instead of a $30,000 or $40,000 subdivision lot, they're starting off with a free lot, essentially. And infrastructure's already there, ready to build on. And it's working out.
Talk to us about, from a tourism standpoint, what is here that you would tout and recommend for a traveler driving through the territory to stop here?
You know, the railroad, if you, I know that's a select few, you know, to have that desire on a rail, but it is a railroad base. There is a museum and railroad community. That's not everybody's cup of tea. You know, we have a great parks facility, a 360-acre park that people, if they're camping, we've got full hookups out there for that. Lakes to fish at, you know, we have some really good fishing lakes in the side town and also out on the perimeter of the community.
Kind of a legendary name of the lake out.
Sorry. Sugar Creek Lake, mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, they had that, I think it's been stocked with walleye and other, but it's a well-known good fishing lake. So a lot of stuff in the community like that. Nice trail system. We've worked hard to get that. So biking, running, trails, you know, I mean, that's not something you'd necessarily visit for. But also Omar Bradley, the home of the, you know, we've talked about that a little bit. Went out and looked at the different war memorials. People are surprised how much stuff is out there when you stop and get out of the vehicle. You know, aside from the statue of Omar Bradley, but all the different wars, the war dogs, everything have their memorial monuments out there. And then, like, as we toured the cemetery, that's not necessarily something you'd normally think about. But, I mean, we do get, especially around the Memorial Day, a lot of people that are Civil War history buffs. We have that, you know, unique situation with the Union, the Confederate, and the Lincoln statues out there. And a lot of different soldiers that were buried out there right after the war, and then after time, you know, they're still marked appropriately.
So other things that you'd recommend to do, how about cool place to eat in town?
Lulu's, mm-hmm. I know, is a really one of the more popular ones. I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants in town. People come in for that.
Do you specialize in local regional cuisine?
They have, I mean, amazing steak and ribeyes and, you know, crab legs. And so it's just kind of a, you know, I think one of the things, it's not this new modern building. You know, it looks like it used to, as a kid growing up, I remember being like the old bar-looking thing with the Busch Beer sign on the front of it hanging. I don't know, the motorcycles parked out. You might be afraid to go in there, but it looks like a little hole in the wall. But mm-hmm. you walk in there, and it's just the atmosphere that you're not going to get by a new building. And, I mean, people come here from all outside the region. Mm-hmm. And it's on Friday and Saturday nights, you're standing out the door. Now, there's lots of other good restaurants, so I don't want to snub the other
sure.
ones in town.
Yeah.
And then we have some unique features, like I just went across the street for the Beans, you know, coffee shop. You know, they've got specialized in local things. And so that has been real popular in the downtown district. And we've got several other restaurants in the downtown. Now they're popping up as our downtown redevelopment occurs.
And talk to us about, again, in the heart of downtown, the core, the old buildings, some of them 100 years plus, and how they're literally being rebirthed again.
Yes, the Shed District has really helped people become more knowledgeable about the historic tax credits that can be utilized for that. So we've got some people taking advantage of that and have pumped in more than the original valuation of the downtown buildings in redevelopment costs. And so that's continuing, and we're working hard to try to get, you know, a downtown hotel for Moberly, you know, to try to have more space for that. Right now we're kind of struggling with hotel space. You know, Airbnbs are becoming more popular, so we've got some of those on the fringe. We've got the downtown school, which is right on the edge of the downtown district, and so that's getting ready to be redeveloped into senior apartments.
That's a classic old brick picture postcard elementary school.
Yeah, it's got all the carvings and stuff. And we saved off the old gym when we took that down because it wasn't going to be viable for apartments. And so when that was taken down, the old columns and the, you know, the carving type mm-hmm. slabs above that. So we saved all those pieces. So hopefully that can be reincorporated into some of the entryways of the new part that's going to be added on.
That's really cool. So where are you located? In planet Earth.
I would say east and west, we're dead center between Kansas City, St. Louis, 30 miles north of Columbia off I-70, so Highway 36, which is also known as I-72, so we're right in between both of those, so easy access, four-lane highway. Mm-hmm.
Do you get some just random travelers that just out of curiosity stop in?
You know, I think that we were trying to do more wayfinding signs and stuff along the highway because another comment was sometimes more than meets the eye, which we've kind of don't talk about that slogan much anymore. But, mm-hmm. I mean, just passing by on the highway, it's hard to see all the features that you might have here. So it's once you start getting out and exploring the different things, I mean, unique things you wouldn't see everywhere. Mobility's got a drive-in theater. So, I mean, people come from around the, you know, that haven't got to experience that with their kids. You know, you don't think about that. The mini train in the park, you know, there's mm-hmm. different activities that you just wouldn't find just anywhere.
A safe town?
Safe community, you know. It's like very safe, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, we have a very active code enforcement, you know, that tries, is proactive. So a lot of towns, you know, are kind of reactive. And so that's one of the things that we try to be proactive to deal with housing. And so, mm-hmm. like I say, that we just recently completed a demolition grant for nearly $400,000 worth of work, taking down old structures to get those bad apples out of the barrel to make room for the new. So that's...
To learn more about your world, where would you... Do you have a website or go-to place?
MobileMo.org is our city webpage, and so we also have links to our parks page. I see a lot of... Probably the people that would want to see more as far as the park and the swimming, the lodge facility. You know, we're getting ready to construct a new amphitheater, the aquatic center that we have here in town. So the parks page off of our Moberly link would probably be a good source for that as well. But just to learn about our history and maybe like go through and see, and there's a lot of connections to sites off of our Moberly page. Tom Sanders, City of Millbury, Public Works Director.
Tom, thanks so much for visiting.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
Support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. And Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's Podcast Direct. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.